Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the privilege you've given to us to share in the communion of the Spirit. Lord, even as we come to receive of your word tonight, we ask that you will grant us the encounters we require for our destiny. Precious Father, we beg that even tonight men will be transformed, men will be transfigured, people will be brought into realms of glory, celestial dimensions, where the weights of their destinies are activated. Precious Lord, we know that you will do this. Even much more, we are persuaded you will do, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a big hand one more time and take your seat. God is good. Glory to Jesus. Our time is short. I just want to point out a few things tonight. And we trust God for an outpouring of His Spirit. We are looking at a very strategic subject, winning moments, spiritual moments. And you see, I want to show us in this session how to journey and transit from one level to another as you engage moments in the Spirit. Like I began telling you earlier this evening in the first session, at one level you win all the moments that are available. At another level it becomes a bit more aggressive and you seize them. But there's a level you get to where you become the moment. And so tonight I want to show you not just how to receive, win, or seize moments, for you to become the moment. Because there's a level you get to in life where when you show up, God shows up. So you are not just waiting for something to happen in the Spirit. Your presence is synonymous to the presence of God. And that's what God intends for every one of us who is born of His Spirit. But very quickly, just to remind us, refresh our minds. Let me do a quick recap. Three things I shared earlier. Number one is the distinction between the Chronos time and the Kairos time. And I told us the Chronos time is simply the sequential time wherein our activities and routines are captured. It was created by God in order to bring order to our lives. And it helps us to systematically and sequentially organize our lives. So one thing happens at a time and eventually we get a lot of things done. And so it defines how our activities are carried out. It's on the basis of the Chronos time that you can tell a man's age. He has been here for 30 years, for 40 years, for 50 years, for 60 years. Because it defines the sequence of things. But that's not all there is about time. There is also another time that is a moment. And so when we deal with times that are moments, we are dealing with opportunities that God has created and factored into our realm to help us maximize our existence. So there are moments that last for seconds. There are moments that last for weeks. There are moments that last for months. But God decides to aggregate His possibilities into those moments and brings it into our realm so that as we possess them, it will become an intervention strategy of God to improve the quality of our existence. So all of the moments that God creates that brings us strategic divine advantage is what we call the Kairos time. And so our focus in this meeting is to help us understand how to win, how to possess those Kairos moments so that the quality of our lives are enhanced. And I said, before we look at the structures that makes us possess those Kairos moments, it's important for me to show us some of the things that are encapsulated in those moments. And I listed three for us. I said, number one, miracles, signs, and wonders are captured in Kairos moments. And so we read from John chapter 2, the story of the marriage feast in Canaan. When the mother of Jesus wanted him to perform a miracle, he said, my time has not yet come. That means miracles are encapsulated into moments. We also read from John chapter 9, from verse 4, where Jesus reiterated that. We saw that also in John chapter 5, from verse 2 to verse 9, the story of the man that was sick and impotent for 38 years. He said, at a certain time, the water is stirred, and whoever gets in first is cleansed of whatsoever thing. So there are moments where miracles, signs, wonders become possible. And I told us, even us who are preachers here, when we come into a service, we don't just begin to make things happen. Yes, there is a level where we do that, but many times, as you are teaching, as you are worshiping, you are waiting for that moment of the Spirit. And if you can possess that moment, if you can win that moment, you can download supernatural occurrences. So this is one of the things we should enjoy in our everyday lives. Number two, I looked at fulfillment of prophecy, also at some of the pregnancies that moments carry. And we also looked at that from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible said, although it was prophesied that the Son of Man was coming, but it was at the fullness of time. So there was a moment where the salvation of man captured in prophecy was allowed to come into our space. It didn't just happen at any time. It was a calculated moment of the Spirit. And you'll be amazed when you read the Bible. The whole Pharisees could not discern it. It was ordinary people who knew how spiritual things work that discerned it. One of them is Elizabeth. The moment Mary showed up, Elizabeth said, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And he said, why has the mother of my Lord come to visit me? That was something she discerned in a moment. The doctors of the law couldn't discern it. So this thing is not a function of how much theology you know. It is a function of how sensitive you are in the Spirit. And so if you become sensitive in the Spirit, you don't have to be an ordained preacher to be able to download prophecies. And I told you, the undoing of many people is their inability to access the prophecy that is on their lives. There are most of us seated here today that have several prophecies unfulfilled. That is why our life is where it is now. If we begin to possess moments, you'll be amazed the beauty and the glory that your life will command and begin to command. And so prophecies are encapsulated into moments. And then finally, I said deliverance also is captured in moments. And I read from Psalm 105, verse 17 to 21. Joseph was in prison for 14 years. Nothing happened. He tried to build human connection. Nothing happened. The Bible said, until the time that his word came, there was a moment. And he said, when that time came, the king loosed him immediately. He moved from a prison and he became a prime minister, teaching senators, teaching ministers and rulers in Egypt. So when your moment comes and you seize it, you'll be amazed what your life can become. And so I took time to show us some of the things we do in order to win and to seize our moments. I said, number one, we prepare for moments. Anybody who will seize a moment must deliberately prepare for it. I read to us from Matthew chapter 25, the story of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Foolishness in this context is their lack of preparation for the ultimate moment. They didn't have enough oil, and their oil finished at the 11th hour. The moment they went to buy, the bridegroom showed up, and they discovered they were not prepared for the hour. Anybody who wants to really maximize moments must prepare for moments. And I told you, few ways of preparing for moments: spending time on the Word of God, spending time in the place of prayer, spending time fasting. All of these things energize your spirit, so that any moment of the Spirit that comes, your spirit will be alive to articulate it. If your spirit is weak, you can't discern moments of the Spirit, no matter how you try. Number two, I said for you to possess moments, you must master how to take proactive steps. Only those who take actions can maximize moments. Proverbs 24:33 said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hand is a poverty shall come upon you like a thief. So many people are tied and roped into a tight corner because of procrastination and lasciviousness. A Christian cannot be inactive. We are people who are activated by the Holy Spirit to function as the Holy Ghost moves us. We are not a dormant people. We are not a people who are not ready. We are always ready for war. That is the disposition of a Christian. Proactive, taking actions as led by the Spirit, and that leads to maximizing moments. Number three, I said in order to maximize moments, you must have discernment. If you don't have discernment, you will not even know when things are happening. They say, if a trumpet makes an unusual sound, who will prepare for battle? So we have to have discernment in our quiver in order to make the most of moments. I read to you a few scriptures, how even Jesus himself was fortified with discernment. In John 13 verse 1, the Bible said Jesus knew that his time on earth had come to an end. So he was no longer living as an earthly person. Everything was about eternity. The whole message was about eternity. The whole action was about eternity because he knew that his time had ended. We also read from John 12, 23. The Bible said Jesus knew that his hour of glorification had come. So everything that Jesus did was according to discernment. Nothing happened to him. He made things happen because he knew the seasons that he was in per time. The problem with many Christians is that they don't discern the season they are in. So a Christian who should be in the season of prayer is going for Olympics. He said he has won a ticket to go and watch a football tournament, to go and watch some even sit on seasonal movies. And they watch seasonal movies for 2 weeks. Meanwhile, that is a season of visitation. And I told you, if you don't discern the season of your visitation, you will be frustrated. Luke 19:44 said, this city shall be besieged on every side. The people shall gnash their teeth. Why? Because they don't know the time of their visitation. So the reason we are wrong in our actions most of the times is because we have not discerned the season that we are in. So anybody who will maximize moments must be very smart in the area of discernment. And I showed you how to build discernment. I said the basic way to build discernment is to meditate on the word of God. And meditation has two steps. Number one, memorize the word. Read the scripture. Close your eyes. Memorize it. When you memorize, then talk it to yourself. Because the word meditation is the word hagar. It means to talk the word to yourself. As you are talking the word to yourself, there's something the word does to you. It begins to alter even your molecular structure. It begins to reshape you. It begins to reform you. And you discover you become a different person. They say, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory, unto that image that we have seen, even as by the Spirit of God. So nobody can remain the same if he begins to interact with the Word of God. But the problem is that we are not deliberate most times about life and destiny. So the third way I said to build or to maximize moments is to build discernment. The fourth way I said to maximize seasons or moments is to build focus. Don't allow your mind to be distracted. There are too many things in the world trying to distract us. From people coming with negative news to things happening on the media. And sometimes we just sit, spend hours on things that don't bother on where we are going. If mama was not focused, none of these things can come up. It takes a lot of stability in the area of focus for great things to happen. Those who live around her will tell you, sometimes when you have a project for 3 months, you shut down every other thing. You are dreaming it, you are seeing it, you are prophesying it, you are praying it until it appears. Because the way to bring something from the spirit realm to the natural realm is through focus. As you focus on it, you begin to see it, you begin to talk it, you begin to declare it, and then it appears. Nothing just shows up. Everything you see happening is made to happen. But this is one of the strategies. The problem we have in this generation is that too many people are not focused. I read to you from 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 40. He said, my Lord gave me a servant to keep. He said, but as I was busy here and there, I lost him. That is how people lose moments. That is how people lose visions. They are busy here and there doing what does not matter. You see somebody who says he's rising to become a leader in his generation. In 1 month, he attends 5 birthday paries. He attends 7 naming ceremonies. And most of these meetings, he's not invited. He said, let's go and see what is happening. Stop going to see what is happening. You are too important to go see what is happening. Only go to places where you are invited and celebrated. Don't be part of the crowd. If you don't know what to do, sit down and pray. Read a book. Listen to a message. Go and help the poor. There are many important things to do. Don't loaf around. You are wasting your destiny. Every one of us seated here, the whole seconds that we live for is already counted. It's calibrated. Not one extra. It is already counted. If you are going to live for 10 million seconds, they already know in heaven. Meanwhile, you have lived 9 million and you are still playing around. There's no time to gamble with destiny. We must become dangerously focused. I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo, and he said for 21 years, he knew the road to only two places, to the church and to the airport. If he's not traveling for missions, he's going for service. There's no business anywhere. Too busy. And then you see things happening in their lives, and you are wondering how. It's focus that's making it happen. It's focus. Too many are not focused. That's why we are not going anywhere. And then number five, I said to maximize moments, you must be aggressive. My God, how aggressive people possess what others lose. I read a scripture that troubled my spirit. God gave abilities to different people, and one came and didn't use his ability. And Jesus made a statement. He said, to him that has and desires to have more. He said, the one that does not have and does not desire to have more. He said, even the little he has will be taken from him and given to him that has and desire to have more. That's why the bigger becomes bigger. The weaker remains weaker. Because he doesn't have the intention to have more. So even the little he has is taken from him. So the people you see who have and who keep having are having because they are aggressive about it. They are dangerously aggressive. They don't want anything to elude them. And so they press with all their energy. And I read some scriptures to you. How Bartimaeus was shouting and he wouldn't stop until Jesus stopped. If you don't stop, God will stop. And Jesus showed up. What do you want? He made his demand and it was given to him. I read to you how the woman with the issue of blood pressed in between people. Somebody who was sick for 12 years. Where is the energy? There is spiritual energy. There was zeal consuming her. And she pressed until she taught Jesus and pulled out virtue. Jesus was not even thinking about her. Jesus didn't have her in his plan. But it doesn't matter if you are in God's plan. You can put yourself in God's plan. If you are dangerously aggressive enough. And she forced her way into God's agenda. Pulled virtue. Jesus said, who touched me? Meanwhile, Jesus was going to raise the dead. All his attention was there. A woman came and said, no, there's enough for me too. And she pulled out something out of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, go, thy faith has made thee whole. I showed you about the Canaanite woman who Jesus didn't answer. She wouldn't stop. When Jesus decided to answer, Jesus said, it's not meet to give the children's food to dogs. And she said, even the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the dogs qualify to eat. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, great is thy faith. Nobody who was aggressive, dangerously aggressive in scripture, left empty-handed. If you want to possess moments, become aggressive. Let your faith come alive, nurture it until it steps into the realm of aggression, and you'll be shocked how your life will become an endless stream of many blessings. This is what we looked at earlier this evening. I want to add three more blocks. Can we go higher? Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Aliyah. Mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. somewhere. Something will hit this auditorium. I'm sensing some energies. But let's journey. Now, I want to quickly show you structures that God has put in place to help us win moments. There are many structures that has been designed to help you. Just in case you fail in the internal dynamics, there are other structures put in place to make sure you don't miss. And I give you three of them quick. Number one is the voice of God. The reason many exercise a lot of precision in winning moments is because they are led. See, the Bible said, it's not given to man that walketh to order himself. When you find men, women, operate certain levels of accuracy, know that there is a compass they are working with. There is a voice behind their navigation. That's why they make that level of success. It is difficult for a woman to just rise up and come into a forest of this magnitude and say, you want to raise a ministry here. And then in 10 years, structures are appearing as though it's a fowl laying eggs. That level of power and resolve and precision is by a leading. A spirit is ministering. This is the secret many are not aware. That is why those who try to copy without having the leading end up in crisis. If the Spirit of God leads you, you can't fail. Jesus said, when I sent you out, without purse, without script, without sandals, lack thou anything? They said they lack nothing. So when you see people maximize moments and seasons, there's a voice leading them. And listen, this voice is not for a few. It is for those who are willing to be led. The Bible speaking in John chapter 10, this is Jesus talking. And it's replete in that scripture. Verse 11, verse 17, you'll find the scripture there. It said, my sheep heareth my voice, and they obey me. 3, 4, 11, 17. My sheep heareth my voice. So everyone who is born of God, there is a frequency opened in your heart to hear God. You know, I see people a lot of times say they have to go to a school to be taught how to hear God. Who taught you how to hear demons? When you are a fallen man, you hear the devil naturally. That's why some here say something that will hurt her. Steal from her. Do this for her. Do this to her. We hear demons effortlessly because we were falling. Now that we are born again, that's how we also hear God. The problem is that many don't want to obey. The moment you make up your mind that you will obey God, hearing God becomes natural to you. And the Holy Ghost will teach you how to hear Him even better. In Romans chapter 8 verse 14, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you cannot say you are a child of God and you don't hear God's voice. And listen, your advantage is tied to the degree to which you hear God. In John 16, 13, he said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all realities. All realities are all opportunities. All realities are all prophecies. All realities are all promises. All realities are everything God has said about your destiny and ordination. But it will take the leading of the Holy Ghost to get there. See, opportunities are in a location. Only the Holy Ghost knows there. And so if the Holy Ghost does not lead you, you will not arrive. It is not how far you travel. It is how where you are led. I tell my people, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Until the Holy Ghost leads you, you can't arrive at a destiny or a destination where you will maximize the opportunity. This is why every Christian must be led. But can I tell you something? The reason many are not hearing God is because over 60 to 70% of God speaking are not audible. They are signs. They are signals. They are impressions. They are knowings in the inside to be able to pick those still small voices. Because an earthquake may happen, God is not there. Fire may burn, God is not there. A whirlwind may happen, God is not there. The voice of God comes as a still, quiet speaking, yet with authority.
This is why many are not maximizing it. Can I show you a few ways God leads men so that you begin to learn it today? Let me show you four ways that God leads men with the still small voice that brings them into their destiny. Mark 7:33 to 34. It said, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his finger into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. Next verse. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, this be opened. The word I want you to pay attention there is, and he sighed. And he sighed. One of the ways God leads men is like a ventilation. You are going to a situation and suddenly you feel that release of the spirit. That's the word sigh there. It's the word tenazo. It's one of the ways God leads men. If you want to take a step and there is congestion in your soul, wait. If you want to do something, there is congestion, wait. If you wake up and there is congestion, wait. One of the ways God leads you over an issue is that when he brings that issue to your thought, your spirit will sigh. That ventilation that comes is a sign of divine approval. If you know it, you can enter a possibility. Ask those who do great things for God. They want to enter a building project and they don't know what to do. As they are praying, suddenly they feel a ventilation. It's called the note of victory. The moment they hear it, they take a step. They must always get it right. They sigh. That's one of the ways God led men. The Father didn't speak to Jesus here. Read your Bible. It's only twice that God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved son. It is rare. Many times God will sigh in your spirit. He will bring a thought about somebody and he will sigh. He will bring a thought about a project and he will sigh. If you are not sensitive to discern it, you'll be waiting for God to say, my daughter Victoria, rise up and go east. You will not hear it. So for those of us who have understanding, when we feel the sigh of the spirit, we know it's a sign of approval. And we begin to take one step at a time. And we stop where the sigh stops. And the Holy Ghost brings another sign. And we move. And before you know what is happening, you step into a possibility that your brain would not have given you in 1,000 years. The first way God leads men is by sign. Romans 8:23. I'm showing you in scripture. Romans. It said, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. The word groan there is the same word, tenazo. And so there are times when it doesn't come naturally, you provoke it in prayer. When you pray over an issue and that ventilation does not come, know that God is not involved. Stop. But when it happens, even if there are 1,000 roadblocks, they will open up. This is the best way to maximize season. I'm showing you now, because most times, the seasons you are looking for, the moments you are looking for, you have to create them. This is why many don't receive much in their life, because they are waiting for things to happen to them. Champions don't wait for things to happen. They make things happen. And this is one of the ways to make things happen. There are times when you go to God blank. And as you are there waiting on God, praying, a thought will come to your mind and the Holy Ghost will sigh. And when he sighs, you know that a new door has opened. A new opportunity has opened. A new moment has been created. This is one of the ways to access the leading of God into moments of the Spirit. The second is how to avoid evil. John 11:33. Because one gives you approval, another one stops you. That one is disapproval. John 11:33. Quickly. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping. This is Lazarus' tomb. When he showed up. And the Jews also weeping. Which came with her. He groaned in the spirit. What they were doing was a mark of unbelief. And Jesus' spirit disapproved of it. So the word groan here is not praying. No. There is a movement on the inside that shows disapproval over something. This word is the word tarazo. Sometimes you want to board a flight. You feel this disapproval. And you stop. The flight may not even crash, but God is training you. And sometimes you want to enter a vehicle to make a journey, and you sense this movement, you stop. And as you stop, you will hear that that vehicle had an accident. So those movements, although they are inaudible, but the difference between those movements and not having those movements is life and death. Many people died and lost all the opportunities of life because they didn't respond. They didn't respond. I was traveling to Owerri one day to preach. I woke up in the morning and my whole body was heavy. I went to shower. It was as if going to the bathroom was going to the grave. I called my friend. I said, Kai, this journey, I don't know what's happening. I'm sensing disapproval in my spirit. But I've given my word. The people have gathered. And I said, what do I do? Okay, let's go. I exercised faith. I got to the airport. If not that they had already boarded for me and kept my ticket, I would have gone home. But when I showed up, they said, sir, here is your ticket. All the excuses I was looking for not to make that journey did not work. In fact, I went late hoping that I would miss the flight so that I would call them and say, I'll come tomorrow. No way. Flight was waiting for me. They boarded ticket. When I showed up, I had no choice but to collect my ticket and went on the flight. We took off 5 minutes into acceleration. A whirlwind took the plane like a Euclidon. And our plane was spinning and plane began to fall. Everybody was screaming. Even me, the apostle. I didn't know when I grabbed iron and we were all shouting. Oh, hey. Oh. I looked through the window and we were collapsing like this. Is this how I'm going to stop? Is this how I'm going to die? At some point, I knew mercy said no. Mercy said no. And the plane stabilized. People prayed in tongues until we got to Owerri. From Abuja, suddenly an intercessory movement began in the aircraft. People were blasting in tongues. When the plane landed, somebody shouted, glory to Jesus. We heard, hallelujah. Airplane, Airbus became church. And the thing is because there was nobody who could pick Tarazo that this plane is about to sink. If not for mercy, I would have died. From that day, I realized that one of the stirrings of the spirit is to go. Another one is to stop. All of it is designed to give you an advantage. And trust me, if you will make progress in life, you must master these pickings. These are the two major keys to assessing opportunity. There are certain times when the Holy Ghost keeps telling you, call this person, call this person, call this person. You don't know why. We've not spoken for 2 years. It's not about when last you spoke. There is a moment, a window has opened. And if you follow that ventilation and you call, the next thing you will hear is that, I was not even thinking of you. There is a project. I thought you said you studied marketing. Can you try this out? Yes, that's the key to your destiny. But all of that came because you followed a ventilation. And there are times when you want to go somewhere, the Holy Ghost says, don't go, don't go. Not even because he wants to save you from death, but because as you refuse to make that journey, the next day you will meet somebody else that will change your story. If you don't understand how to follow the affirmative stirrings of God and the ones that stop you, you will have crisis. This is a structure that God has put in place for our advantage. But you see, all of this structure will only work if you become spiritual, because they are stirrings of the spirit. If you don't know how to stay with God until your spirit becomes activated, you won't pick them. And I can assure you, more than 60% of the Christians don't pick those things. Even the ones that pick them once in a while, they will tell you, something told me. What is that something? There is nothing like something. It said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. It said, he that is joined to the Spirit is one with him. It's not something that told you. It's the Holy Ghost that is stirring you. Either to go or not to go. But all of that is to make you enter windows of opportunity. Some people moved and lost opportunities. They were in a meeting. They wanted to go. The Holy Ghost disapproved. Don't go. Stay. The second they stepped out, that was when the answer showed up. And they didn't know why they left. They came back 10 minutes later. They said, where did you go to? He just came in 5 minutes ago. And they start weeping. They've lost an opportunity. Because they couldn't discern that disapproval not to step out. And there are other people. God said, go. They refuse to go. And they now heard later, that, oh, that meeting you didn't come for, this is what happened, this is what happened, and they start weeping. Whether you will access opportunities or lose opportunities is a function of your alignment to those stirrings in your spirit man. A man who masters those things becomes like the wind. You can't predict his success. When you think it's about to fail, that's when it's starting. When you think it's about to end, that's another curve to another reality. Because Jesus said, as the wind bloweth, he said, you don't know where it comes from or where it goes to. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. How can you become like the wind when you are moved by the wind of the Spirit? He stops you and he moves you. He moves you and he stops you. And you find yourself entering different opportunities every day. And people are wondering, how did you know? I didn't know. I was led. When we were about to start ministry, man, in Abuja, I traveled for many years, served for many years. Only God knew why he kept me until the time I started. When I was about to start, the little money I saved, the Holy Ghost told me to give all out as seed. I'm about to start ministry. I'm giving money out. Am I going to start with stone? He said, start with faith. I gave all the money out 2 weeks to our inauguration. I had a catalog of meetings. In fact, the last meeting I went for was in Calabar to preach for my friend. And we got there, we preached. I was supposed to catch Dunsin's outpouring in Lagos the next day. So we finished this meeting. The flight they booked for me, I asked for the details of the flight. They now told me the flight was for 4 o'clock from Calabar. I said, what do you mean? I'm going for outpouring by 5. How can I board a 4 p.m. flight? Before I get to Lagos, the meeting would have started. With the Lagos hold up, when will I get to Lekki? That would be almost 8 p.m. Get another flight. They said the only flight they have is in Uyo. And that flight is for 8 a.m. How can I leave Calabar in the morning and catch an 8 a.m. flight in Uyo? They said, don't worry. There is a river we can use boat. I said, no, come on. Is it do or die? Just leave the meeting. I wanted to call Dunsin to tell him, please, I can't come. The Holy Ghost warned me, don't try it. Go for that meeting. Don't try it. Go for that meeting. I said, okay, no problem. Let's get to the boat. They booked the flight. 6:30 a.m., we boarded the boat and we were flying on water. I held my chest and I was praying in tongues. Only God knows what brought me to this water. Manda barakatoa, balagata. After taking that risk, we got to Uyo. They told me, oh, the plane is airborne. What do you mean? I'm seeing plane. They said they've locked the door. Before I will call the people I know to call the airline, they didn't pick on time. They had started engine. Plane took off. I stood. I was watching the plane going. What nonsense is this? I just sent those in the text. I can't make it. So, while they were discussing in Lagos, Apostle Mike said they can't come home. Somebody now told me, no, there's another flight for 11 from Port Harcourt. Okay, book the flight immediately. Let's catch it. They quickly booked the flight. Before we now got vehicles to leave Uyo, because we came by water, it was already 10:20. They said, no. Before we get to Port Harcourt, the plane would have landed Lagos. So we turned on the road. I said, listen, I'm going to Abuja. Say there's a 12 o'clock flight from Uyo to Abuja. Get that ticket for me. I returned to the airport. While they were discussing, somebody now heard at the background. Who do you say cannot come? They say Apostle Mike. He said, what do you mean? I came here because of him. Give me 10 minutes. And the person made a call. They moved the private jet to pick me immediately. That's not the testimony. I'm just showing you how this movement can change your life. I put myself together immediately like an apostle of private jet. I've left the level of jumping up and down. I don't have stress anymore. I sat down. They picked me up like an executive apostle and flew me to Lagos. They were serving me. I crossed my leg. No more running up and down. We landed Lagos. They picked me with some solid SUVs and took me to the hotel. Serving me like a king, I put myself in order and I showed up for the meeting. Guess what? I was to speak for 10 minutes. I now told myself, is it 10 minutes that I've been stressing myself this morning? 10 minutes? What will I say in 10 minutes? Well, no problem. It's a music festival. So I dressed up. I went for the meeting. I spoke for 10 minutes, dropped the mic and left. 1 week to my inauguration, one of the leading women of God in Abuja, God does it to tell me that she wants me to come and minister for her. I said, no problem. Since she's an elder, I will come. When is the date? They say it's the day of my inauguration. I say, I can't. Today is my inauguration. I'm resting because today has to be a day of fire. When I wanted to tell Juicy no, the Holy Ghost said, don't try it. Go. What do you mean go? Today is inauguration. Why will I pray for the inauguration? Go. I said, okay, I will come. That morning, I came to preach. Remember, I'd given all the money I had as seed. I came, I preached for 1 hour, 20 minutes. When I finished, the whole church was so blessed. The woman stood up and said, I was told that he's starting his ministry today. Let's bless him. And before I knew what was happening, they gathered 14 million and gave me. I said, okay, is this how this thing works? This is an opportunity waiting for my inauguration. But it took movements on the inside. And they gathered 14 million. Now, all the people that were supposed to bring sound, LED screen, I was telling them, don't worry. So 2 hours to the meeting, I will send you a lot. I will send you a lot. There was no cobble anywhere. But when I left that church, I left like a big man. I called the guy with sound. How much is your money again? He said, 2 points. Send your account number. I forwarded it. How much is your money for LED? I forwarded it. And meeting became a blast. Not because there was savings anywhere. Not because we begged anybody under heaven. But millions gushed in. And inauguration was glorious. Because there were movements. Were movements. If I didn't go for the meeting in Lagos, we would not have gotten there. If I refused to go for that meeting during that inauguration, we wouldn't have had the opportunity. The whole meeting would have been a flop. Listen, it's good to have faith, but faith alone is not enough. You must know the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the one who creates the pathway to substantiate your faith. But many, they are not spiritual enough to pick those movements. Those movements. If you don't pick them, you will struggle. This is the first structure that God has put in place to make you enter your opportunities. See, this thing, something told me. Better learn tonight. It's not something, it's the movement of God. As this wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence they cometh or where it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit. Many lost their husbands because they didn't hear this thing. Wait there, they didn't hear. Somebody said something, they wanted to react in anger, they didn't hear. And they spoke, and the man who was watching them see, say, is that how she is? I better go. And he runs away. And a whole season was lost because they didn't pick the frequency. If you stop picking those frequencies, you will struggle in life. And I can tell you many stories like this. We were looking for venue in Abuja to use. A friend of mine showed up and said he wants to have a meeting that week. And I just felt in my spirit, drive him around, let him get the venue. And I said, okay, come, let's go. As we drove, we went to one location. It was not good enough. Another friend told us about another location. When we entered that location, the moment we walked into the office to tell the owner of that place to please give us his venue, the man saw me and jumped up. What? What are you doing here? I have looked for you for 2 years. I said, me? He said, yes, it's God that brought you here. The first thing was that location, automatically they gave it to us. But guess what? The venue we now use for our first 1 year, it was that man that made a call and they gave it to us. Just because I heard, drive somebody. See, spiritual things are not complex. They are weaved into your everyday life. But it will take your ability to sense the Holy Ghost to live spiritual. Some people think living spiritual is by squeezing their face and acting like spiritual people. You can squeeze your face and not know God. You can squeeze your face and be carnal. The Pharisees were masters in it, but they didn't know God. But somebody else can be simple, laughing and jovial. But if the Holy Ghost moves, he knows. That's a spiritual man. You are not spiritual because of your disposition. You are spiritual because you obey the word and you obey the movements of the Spirit. That's a spiritual person. And everybody who is spiritual will maximize seasons in his life. It's not this era where everybody wants to go abroad. Don't move until the Holy Ghost moves you. I was telling my people, greener pasture every day. We are not cows. Sons don't look for greener pasture. They go to places where they are led. So if the Lord is leading you abroad, go and take over. But if he's not leading you, wait for him. A lizard in Nigeria will not turn to a Komodo dragon in London. Stay where God tells you to stay, and your life will become a wonder to your generation. This is the mystery of accessing opportunities that many Christians are not aware. And today, the story is no longer at that level. It has shifted. What God did once that was a big miracle is now a weekly occurrence. Because the more you follow, the more glorious your life becomes. The more you follow, the more glorious your life becomes. And so you must build this structure into your life. Hear me! Everything that has disrupted the frequency of the Holy Ghost in your life, I decree over you under this atmosphere, they burst open tonight in the name of Jesus.
And I've just taught you now, it's possible that sometimes in the most strategic season of your life, you will miss them all. It's possible for you to miss discernment. It's possible for you to miss readiness. It's possible for you to miss the stirring of the Spirit. It's possible for you to miss everything I have outlined. Even me teaching you, I just told you a story where I missed it. The plane would have crashed. So there is something God has put in place to make sure that even though you have violated what he has put in place for your advantage, you will still not be a victim. That structure is called mercy. This is why the Bible said, it is for the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassion faileth not. In James 2:13, he said, mercy prevails over judgment. Now, if I crashed in that plane, God is justified. Why? Because he stopped me from going. I went in my rebellion. But even though I was in error, God could not watch us crash. There was a system that he put in place to make sure that even in our error, he will show up. That system is called mercy. This is why the first layer of salvation came on the platform of mercy. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4, he said, God who is rich in his mercy, it is because of the richness of his mercy that we were saved. Because grace would not have come if there was no mercy. So in addition to everything we have studied here, you must become conscious of the mercy of God. I'm telling you, there are times when your discernment will fail you. There are times when no matter how you prepare, you will not prepare enough. There are times when the Holy Ghost will stir you, you will not respond. There are times when everything that you should do, you will miss one or miss all. The reason you will still enter doors of opportunities because mercy will prevail over judgment. They will say, yes, he missed the discernment, but God will force your step to enter there. I've seen it many times. The Holy Ghost is leading you to go right. You turn left and you were going. God will cut the road until the road will return back to right. And you will go like this and enter the same door. That one is not your intelligence that made it happen. That one is not your discernment. It's mercy that recalibrated the structure to make sure you are the one choosing. And there are many times when it's not even about you. You are doing everything right, but everybody around you is making sure you lose opportunity. Did you read the story of David? Samuel, God sent Samuel. Go and anoint the children of Jesse. One of them is a king. Samuel showed up. The father, this is not a stranger. The father
brought 7 children and left David out. If your father is fighting you, how can you succeed? If a stranger is fighting you, it's a different thing. This was his father. They are about to ordain a king. Why would you leave David out? And Samuel looked at Eliab. Surely, this is the Lord's anointed. God, they have refused him. They brought 1, they brought 2, they brought 3, they brought 4, they brought 5, they brought 6, they brought 7. God refused all of them. Because mercy was insisting on one man, David. He was in the field. The prophet waited. The father waited. All the brothers waited. Samuel said, I will not eat anything here unless you bring that boy. Is this the only, are these the only children you have? He said, yes, except for one who is in the bush. Because they had reduced him to a shepherd boy. The one who goes to the bush. The one who is not qualified for royalty. The one who is not qualified to be anointed. They had degraded his existence. All he's good for is to remain in the forest. But mercy said, he's the one I want. See, most times the reason you'll be choosing is not because you are the best. It's not because you are the smartest. It's not because you are the wisest. It's not because you are the most prepared. It's because mercy says you are the one. I prophesy over someone. There may be a million persons, but mercy will choose you. Sir, can't you find anybody among 7? I would have chosen Eliab, but mercy said no. I chose Eliab, but mercy said no. And Samuel sat down. The whole prophet was waiting. This is the national prophet that everybody in Israel trembles at. He was waiting for a boy. So when mercy wants to decorate your life, even the most honorable person will wait for you. Even the most honorable congregation will wait for you. And they sat down and they were waiting. And David was in the bush. When he showed up, there was no time to cut his hair. There was no time to have a clean bath. There was no time to wear a proper clothes. He came with the smell of the animals. He came with the smell of the feces of the animals. He came with the smell of the forest without having his bath, without cutting his hair, without dressing well. But the moment they entered, the Holy Ghost said, this is the one that was chosen. And the oil was poured upon him and he was anointed as the king. Hallelujah. Hear me. In the realm of God, in his dealing with men, nothing is as strong as mercy. Mercy is stronger than judgment. Mercy is stronger than covenant. Everything in the realm of God submits to mercy. This is why our best card with God is the card of mercy. I'm telling you, there are many times when you will fail, but the reason you will still be the one is because mercy said no. It's because mercy said no. And concerning you, that opportunity will not elude you. Mercy will say no on your account. How can David become so mighty? No training, no benefit, no advantage, no man spoke for him. This is why you see some men make impact even when they don't have any human connection. There are those who have people to talk to the president on their behalf. There are those who have people to talk to governors on their behalf. There are those who have people to talk to the most important people on their behalf. Some of us who don't have anybody, we hold on to the horns of the altar. Mercy speaks on our behalf. And mercy is enough. Every opportunity that your capacity can bring you into, mercy can route your steps into it. This is how mercy works. This is how mercy distinguishes men. And many men in the scripture who were chosen on account of mercy. Even King Saul, who was later rejected, it was because he trivialized mercy. He said, I am the least in my family. My family is the least. My tribe is the least. But mercy chose him. Anybody can become relevant if we will play by mercy. See, as you leave this conference, there are 3 prayers you must pray every day of your life. Number 1, Lord, have mercy on me. Number 2, Lord, help me. Number 3, Lord, thank you. If you pray these 3 prayers, there's no way you'll not be relevant in your life. You are thanking God because He is doing much more than you know. The Bible said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He said, it will not come near you. That means every day God is protecting you from 11,000 enemies that you don't know about. Why? Because He doesn't even let them come near you. Is it not when they come near you that you know about them? They fight. God is fighting on our account. We don't know. He said, you shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that wasted in noonday, nor the destruction that abounds in noonday. You are fighting 2-3 enemies. You say you are fighting. If they show you the number of enemies you have, you'll be shocked. Every day, at least 11,000 enemies are being stopped from approaching you. Because God knows that if they approach you, you don't have enough strength to fight them. I'm telling you. So the battles you are fighting, God allowed them because it will grow your faith. The real battles, God is fighting it for you. You don't know about them. 1,000 forced by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He shall not come near you. That's why every day you wake up, although the child has not come, thank you, Jesus. The job has not come, thank you, Jesus. The opportunity has not come, thank you, Jesus. Because my biggest problem is not the things I'm looking at. Somebody was going for a job interview. The prayer was, Lord, let me pass. Meanwhile, there was an accident. It was when she was delivered from the accident that she discovered she prayed the wrong prayer all night. Because what she would have been praying was not to die the next day. So the thing she didn't even pray about, mercy went ahead of her and said, you will not die but live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I prophesy over someone. In your life, mercy will not be lacking. In your destiny, mercy will not be lacking. In your ministry, mercy will not be lacking. In your business, mercy will not be lacking. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Mercy said no. I can tell you boldly that I'm standing here because mercy said no. The battles I have fought, the ones I know of, they are enough to destroy me. People rose up, swore that I must go down. Some even put a timeline. They said, it won't last for 2 years. It won't last for 3 years. We are still here and we have not started. It's when we are 70 that we'll start talking. Because mercy said no. I prophesy over you. Mercy will distinguish you. Mercy will vindicate you. Mercy will open doors for you. Mercy will shift you to realms of glory. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for a moment. Listen. Don't let the devil make you feel it's over. It's not over. Because of mercy, the Bible said, all things work together for our good. So even what the devil is doing to destroy us, at the end of the day, will translate to our good. Because there is the protocol of mercy. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12 to 14. Israel was encompassed by the Philistines. See the excellency of mercy. He said, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shem and called the name Ebenezer, saying, hitherto has the Lord helped us. We have tried everything we know. It's not working. Now we need the help of God. So mercy had to come in. Ebenezer, our help has come. And see what happened in the next verse. Verse 13 and 14. When God starts fighting, the difference is clear. The Bible said, so the Philistines were subdued and they came no more into the coast of Israel. That is called intervention. It said the hand of God, this is not an army, was perpetually against the Philistines all the days of Samuel's life. If God stopped here, it would have been enough. But mercy does not only produce intervention, it also produces restoration. Look at verse 14 of that scripture. He said, and the city which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and to the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. See, there is a dimension of peace that is not gotten through negotiation. It's gotten by power. When something begins to fight your enemies that they can't explain, even what they stole from you, they will return it. So when mercy is at work, it will sponsor intervention. But it will not only sponsor intervention, it will also sponsor restoration. So what the devil stole from you 10 years ago, it has not gone, it's somewhere. Mercy will bring it back. What the devil stole from you 15 years ago, it has not gone anywhere. It is somewhere in the spirit. Mercy will bring it back. I prophesy over you. Every opportunity you have lost by the instrumentality of mercy, I route them back into your destiny. I prophesy over you. Every door that has shut against you, I speak by mercy. Those doors are open and they are rerouted into your destiny. I speak over you. Everything you have lost by the power and the excellency of mercy, they are restored to your life in the name of Jesus.
He's the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne.
He alone,
He alone is worthy of our praise.
Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh,
is the Lamb of God.
He alone,
you know what the Bible said? The years that the palmer worm has eaten, the caterpillar worm has eaten, it said those years will be restored. That means here in the spirit, nothing can be lost. What you say you lost is kept somewhere. When mercy comes, it will route it back into your destiny. It will route it back. That's why in some seasons, every day there is a blessing. Because God is aggregating all the blessings you lost in 10 years and He brings it back in 1 week. I decree over you, because of mercy, everything you have lost, it returns to you in this week.
This
meeting, you say, oh, I've been married for 3 years. I had a miscarriage in my first year of marriage. Get ready, because in the next 1 year you are carrying twins. The one you are supposed to give birth to that time and the one you are giving birth to now, they will be combined together and they will be released into your life. Some of you said, oh, 5 years ago I lost a job that should have paid me 200,000. Get ready, now you will get a job that will pay you 10 million. Because when restorations come, there is aggregation. I decree and declare that reality is injected into your destiny now. For a moment. See, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. Eyes have not seen, ears. See, when you read the Bible, those are not philosophical talks. They are realities that can be operational in your life. That means the blessings you will walk in before this year is over, eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. When your story is told, men will travel to come and see you if they are real. That's what I'm talking about. Men with trouble. Did you not hear about Solomon? The queen of Sheba traveled and came. The stories we are hearing, are you sure it was not exaggerated? Because what we are hearing is too good to be true. When she now showed up, her testimony changed. She said half of it was not told. So what they are hearing about you that they say is an exaggeration. When they eventually see you, they will discover that those stories are modest. Because the real thing have not been told. I decree over your life, become a wonder. Sit down for a moment. Anything telling you that you are about to fail, go and laugh at it. It's a joker. They've not seen anything about you. You are just evolving. Your real version has not manifested. I say anything threatening you that your life is about to finish, go and laugh at it. See, there are many things some of us don't pray about. The devil shows up and tells you you are about to finish. We don't finish. We are connected to the El Shaddai. We are connected to the El Elyon. We are connected to the Sabaoth. He doesn't get exhausted. That's why I said the path of a just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It's from glory to glory. We don't finish. And when our time is over, we aggregate all our encounters and hand it over to our children. So when they say your life is a wonder, let them wait and see your children. Your best will be their least. My mom used to be an intercessor. She was the president of St. Anthony of Padua in the Catholic Church, secretary of SS Peter and Paul. And it was a big spiritual thing. People will come for prayers, come for direction. And it was a mighty thing. When she looks at me from heaven, she will know that truly God is faithful. Because we have not started. On Sunday, we did foundation school. We graduated foundation school. People graduated from 48 nations. 48 nations. And not just normal countries like America, London, and the rest. From China, from Japan, from South Korea, from Pakistan, from India. 48 nations. The ministry is 2 years old. What will happen when we attend? I'm not telling you stories. I'm telling you reality. Some of you, as you leave this conference, even before you get home, wonders will begin to happen. Wonders will begin to happen. Wonders. Sit down for a moment. The third infrastructure that God puts in place for you to maximize opportunity is what He has done in you. You are that infrastructure. That's why I told you there's a level where you win moments. There's a level where you become the moment. Because there is something God is doing. He's not only doing for you what God can do. He's making you become like God. That's what God is doing. And all the apostles knew this. John said, as He is, so are we, not in heaven, in this world. Paul said, be ye followers of me as I'm the follower of Christ. That means if you have seen me, you have seen Christ. All the apostles knew this. 1 John 4:17. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Peter showed up and said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth not to receive the excellency of God, to manifest, to show forth. That means everything God says He is, you are the one to manifest it. Because there is something God is doing. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. See what the Bible says. According as His divine power, He said He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. These are opportunities. These are moments. He said, but it is through the knowledge of Him that has called you to glory and virtue. So there is a level you know God where you receive all things that pertains to life and godliness. That's what we have dealt with. But there's a higher level. Go to the next verse and see what the Bible said. It said, whereby
are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The goal of the promise is not for you to have, it's for you to become. He said he gave us exceeding great and precious promises that by this you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there is a level you come to where God allows you to share in his nature. God allows you to share in his reality. So that when you show up, men will see you and see the God in you. So they are not waiting for something to happen. When you come, things happen. When you show up, God shows up. That's the level God is bringing us to. And you know how God did it? Romans 8:17. He said, if we are children, he said, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. If we are children, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might be glorified together with him. So our walk with God is for us to be glorified with him in eternity. But while we are here now as children, he said we are joint heirs. You know what that means? Everything Jesus has, we shared with him. So we are not waiting for Jesus to do something. We have shared, we have co-inherited with Jesus Christ. And when you read your Bible, you will find it. Let me show you some of the things Jesus had that was exclusively his that God gave us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The righteousness of God. He said, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, not that we might have righteousness. He said that we might become the righteousness of God. So the same righteousness that Jesus had was what God now put on us. So we have shared in his righteousness. The reason you live right is not so that you become righteous. The reason you live right is because now you are righteous. I am talking because I'm a human being. I'm not barking because I'm not a dog. So I am talking not so that I will become human. I am talking because I am human. If a baboon learns to talk, a baboon is trying to be like a human. But if I am talking, I'm not talking to be like a human. I'm talking because I'm a human. So we live righteous now because we have the righteous nature. And this righteous nature is not just for to live right. Romans 5:17, it said, he has given us what? The gift of righteousness so that we can reign in life. The word reign is the word king. That means anywhere we are now, we king, we rule. The Bible says where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? This type of reigning is the ability that God has that anything God says become. If God looks at you now and says you are tall, even if you were short, you will stand up and discover you are tall. Because God is always right. So the righteousness of God is a power that makes everything God says to be so. So when he gave us the gift of righteousness, he empowered us to become people who can change things. That's why we look at somebody who is sick. We say, be healed. We don't know where the healing will come from, but if we have said it, it will happen. He said, as you do not know how bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so also knoweth not thou the ways of the spirit. So you may have cancer, we say, be healed. And sometimes the symptom is still there, but you are healed. You go away and discover later that the symptom vanished. Because we are not moved by what we see, we are moved by who we are. We are the righteousness of God. When we talk, it must happen. Jesus told a fig tree, no man shall eat of thee anymore. The fig tree was still fresh. The next day when they were coming from Jerusalem, the Bible said he withered from the root. And Peter said, this is the tree you cursed yesterday. That means when Jesus spoke, they were looking at him and said, oh, for the first time, he had said something that didn't happen. Jesus didn't even bother. When they came back the next day, they saw that the fig tree had withered. And Jesus said, have this kind of faith. There is something about you. When you talk, things happen. Because now you have the righteousness of God. Be conscious about it. You don't need to feel anything. It's who you are. I don't need to feel anything to know I'm a man. I am a man. When I wake up a man. When I sleep a man. That's how I wake up righteous, I sleep righteous. So people call me sometimes, 2 a.m. in the morning. Pastor, my wife is not breathing. In the name of Jesus, come back to life. No premeditation. Pastor, we are under attack. In the name of Jesus, peace be still. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not seeing any vision. I know I'm a king. He said, where the word of the king is, there's power.
who can say unto him, what dwellest thou? What made you a king is because now you have the righteousness of God. So you reign in life. So you are not just looking for moments. You are the moment. Anything you say happen. I came here today to create change in your life. Some of you came here with trouble. When I'm done talking, the trouble will vanish. Because when I talk, things happen. And it's not because I'm an apostle. It's because now I carry the righteousness of God. So when you talk, become conscious. You don't need to feel anything. You don't need to see an angel. Carry the consciousness that you are God's righteousness. And righteous people, they reign in life. They king through life. They dominate through life. That's the first thing that Jesus had that was given to us. But that's not all. Even the anointing of Jesus Christ has been transferred to us. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. See what the Bible says. Please project this scripture. I want you to see it. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What was he anointed with? The Holy Ghost and what? Power. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. What was Jesus anointed with? Holy Ghost and power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. See what you were anointed with. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So the same anointing Jesus had, Holy Ghost and power, that's the same anointing that you and I have. So the same way Jesus went about doing good, that's how you too should go about doing good. So when you show up, they are not waiting for God to show up. When you show up, the anointing that Jesus was using to do good is now on your head. So you too can begin to do good. That's why I told you, there is a level where you are waiting for moment. There are levels where you create moment. Because when you show up, that anointing is on you. So what do? Stir the anointing. Stir the anointing. For some of you, your anointing is dead when you worship. For some of you, your anointing is dead when you pray. For some of you, your anointing is dead when you preach. So when there is crisis, don't be troubled. When there is crisis, don't wait and say, Lord, when will you intervene? You are God's intervention. You are God's system of intervention. When there is crisis, go and lock your door. Find out what stirs your anointing. If it's worship, stay there, worship for 2 hours. When the anointing is stirred, begin to create change. You will be amazed that everything you say will happen. If it's prayer, pray 1 hour. If the anointing is not yet stirred, keep praying. 2 hours, 3 hours. Your goal is not time. Your goal is to be charged. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Keep charging, keep charging. When the anointing becomes dead, stand up. Anything can happen. Because the same way Jesus went about doing good, you too can go about doing good. Because what Jesus used to do good is the Holy Ghost and power. You too have the Holy Ghost and power. That's why Jesus was speaking in John 14:12. He said, the works that I do. See what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he said, the works that I do, shall he do also. If he stopped here, it would have been enough. But he added, he said, greater works than this shall ye do. So Jesus is expecting us to do greater. Why? He said, because I go to the Father. That means, as you are doing what you are doing, he will be supporting you from heaven. He will be interjecting from heaven. So right now, you don't just have what Jesus has. You also have Jesus' backup from heaven. How can you now be disadvantaged? Listen, some years ago, when things are going wrong, I'm waiting for when God will show up. But now when things go wrong, I don't wait anymore. I know what to do. The anointing of God is on my life. God is expecting me to do what he would have done if he was present. Those who wait for God to show up are babies. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. You are the one God sent as a show up. So when you come, God comes. That's why everything Jesus had that he would have used, God gave you. If Jesus shows up now for him to do anything, he has to collect it back from you. Because that's what he uses. He uses his righteousness. He uses his anointing. You are now the one in possession of his righteousness. You are now the one in possession of his anointing. And that is not all. Even the name of Jesus was given to you. He said, in my name. Mark 16:17. Cast out devils. You know what it means? It's like the key to a house. When you show up, you determine when to enter. So you are not waiting for somebody to open the door. You have the key. So if demons are not cast out, it's because you have not cast them out. If you are waiting for God to come and cast out the demons, it may never happen. In my name, you cast out demons. In my name, lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. So you are God's system of healing now in the world. So when you show up, deliverance has come. When you show up, healing has come. Because you are no longer coming in your name. You are coming in the name of the Lord. If from interest sends you out now and say, go and represent me. When you go there, the same honor they will give her is what they will give you. Because you didn't come in your name. You came in her name. And anything you say, it will be regarded that she said it. So when I tell a demon, go out in the name of Jesus, the demon is not hearing my voice. He's hearing the voice of God. Because I'm talking in the name of Jesus. So I'm not waiting for an opportunity. I am now the opportunity. If I come somewhere and somebody is stagnated and I say, go forward, the situation is not hearing me. The situation is hearing the one that sent me. Jesus speaking in John 20:21, he said, as the Father have sent me, he says, so send I you. How were we sent? We were sent with the name of Jesus. And I wish you know the authority of that name. The Bible said in Philippians 2 verse 9, he said, because of what he has done, God gave him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That means what you carry now can make every knee bow. So you are not waiting for an opportunity for knees to bow. You have the key to make them bow. It could be stagnation, it could be poverty, it could be sickness, it could be death, it could be backwardness. The moment you say in the name of Jesus, the knees have no choice but to bow. That's why you are God's system of intervention. And that is not all. He gave us his life. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5, from verse 11, it said, this is a record. It said, God has given unto us eternal life. In case we don't know where that life came from, he said that life was in his son. He said, whoever has the son has life. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have life. What that means is that nothing can happen to you that could not happen to Jesus Christ. So if Jesus could not be killed, you can't be killed. If Jesus could not be sick, you shouldn't be sick. If Jesus could not be defeated, you shouldn't be defeated. Because the reason he could not be sick was because of the life that he had. Now that life is in you. The reason he could not be defeated is because of the life that he had. So when he gave you his life, he gave you what made him him. So when a Christian is begging God, heal me, God is wondering, do you know what you carry? What you have is stronger than healing. What you have is a system of divine health. He said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will quicken your mortal body. And so when I am down, I remind myself that I have the life of God. When I am weak, I remind myself that I have the life of God. And the way you energize that life is by talking to that life. So I begin to talk scriptures to myself. And as I'm talking scriptures to myself, that life begins to rise. That life begins to rise. After a while, I become strong. That's why the Bible says, when men are cast down, he didn't say stand up. If you stand up, you will fall. He said, when men are cast down, you say there is a lifting up. It's the word you say to the life that the life energizes you. So you talk to the life for the life to become strong. This is why you hear the word of God every day. Have you not come to a meeting before dejected? But you started hearing the word. You were hearing the word. After a while, you charge up and you begin to roar. Why? Because words energize that life. That's why some of you may come sick. You hear the word of God, you stand up. Some of you came frustrated, defeated. You hear the word of God, you forget about all of that. That is how that life works. You don't need to wait for a conference to charge that life. You can wake up every day in your house for 30 minutes and you talk the word to yourself before you go out. So you go out every day charged like a more than a conqueror. This is the third thing God has put in place. But this one does not just make us access opportunities. This one makes us create opportunities. Is there anything you lack? You have what it takes to create change. You don't need to be an apostle. You don't need to be a prophet. Righteousness is not only for apostles. The name of Jesus is not only for apostles. Eternal life is not only for apostles. It's for everyone that believes. That means everyone that believes can be a wonder to his generation. Everyone that believes can be an answer to his generation. And so right now,
you need to tell yourself, thank God for all the opportunities he has curated in my path, but I have become the opportunity my world is waiting for. Thank God for all the answers he has put in my path, but I have become the answer my generation is waiting for. The moment it becomes real to you, your life will change. I was in Benue State. 70% civil servants. Finished PhD, did master's degree, and wrote for PhD. I discovered testing is beyond paper. You need to wake up to what you carry. If not, you can have the best of educations, yet you'll be nothing. So in addition, an education is important. Human connection, important. But the major thing you need is what God has given to you. I can lose anybody, but I will never forget eternal life. I can lose everybody, I will never forget the name of Jesus. I can lose everything, I will never forget my righteousness. Because those are the true system of insurance that God has given to me. Are you ready tonight to receive something?
Yeshua.
Generated went down. Because me, I ascend when I'm preaching. If I'm in my closet, either when I'm praying or worshiping, but when I'm outside, as I'm preaching, the power begins to rise. I will ascend. They will say, wait, what did you say? A point came, I became frustrated, I closed my Bible. Meanwhile, they brought all kinds of sickness for God to touch. What will I do? I'm not sensing any anointing. That was when I remembered that it's a name that is above every other name. So, we have too many advantages. If your anointing is not said, hold on to the name. Nobody held it and was ever put ashamed. Peter was entering the temple. Acts chapter 3 verse 6. He said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus. He had not even prayed. Rise up and walk. And the Bible says, strength entered his ankle. He couldn't stand. Peter pulled him up. To show you the level of confidence that he had in that name. I was compelled to rely on the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, this is a nation that is 98% Islam. So the people who came because they told them a miracle worker was around. So if there's no miracle, there'll be trouble. And the time I visited, they just impeached their prime minister. So they were not allowing public gathering because the prime minister was moving and creating chaos. Now they took the risk to gather a crowd. You can't come there and talk story. Meanwhile, my anointing was not stirred. I couldn't preach the word. I was in a dilemma. But I remember the name. I remember what God told me. Because I live, you too will live. I stood up and I said, in the name of Jesus, everybody who is sick here, I command sickness, go! Be afraid, thinking nothing will happen, because everywhere was dry. And to make things work, when I say it, the guy will now say it in Pakistani. That means it's not even what I said they heard, it's what he said that they heard. But the name has no regard for who is saying it. So long as you believe it, there will be answer. And he said it in Pakistani. After a few seconds, a woman shouted, I can hear. What did you say? What did she say? She said she can hear. Come. She had been deaf for more than 10 years. Everybody erupted. While we were here talking, another one shouted, I can see. The guy spoke. What did she say? I can see. Wow. Me too, I positioned myself. The thing is working. Mahalakatoa. I told them, my God answers prayer. I became bold. Because that name never fails. That's why the apostles believed in it. In Acts 4:12, the Bible said there is no name under heaven given by which men must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. If you trust it, you will not be disgraced. The third testimony they took, man. There was a young boy, a child of about 2 years. The chest was, the bone came out like this on the chest. He couldn't even breathe. They carried him around. The power of God hit that boy. Bone went back inside. Chest became flat. What is going on here? He says, the name of Jesus. I said, what? From that day, I bank on the name of Jesus more than anything on earth. I dare you tonight, as we use the name of Jesus, if any knee will remain standing, then what I've told you is a lie. The gospel is a lie. The Bible is a lie. But thanks be to God, all of those things are true, because we have not denied, received cunningly devised fables. When we spoke to you about the coming king, somebody get aggressive. The name of Jesus is about to change your story. Lift your right hand. The name of Jesus, higher than all the names, King of all kings, no other name like it. The name of Jesus, higher than all the names. The name of Jesus,
the name of Jesus,
higher than all the names.
King of all kings,
no other name like him. The name of Jesus,
the name of Jesus, higher than all the names. Alpha and Omega, no other name like him.
The center of it all,
it's you that I see, it's you that I see.
At the center of it all,
it's you that I see.
Help me, choir.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
You are greater, greater than the greatest. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
As I travel around the world, I tell people, the excellency of the name of Jesus cannot be preached exhaustively. It is usually manifested. There's no way you can preach it enough. But when you see cancer vanish, you will know what cannot be taught you. When you see the lame walk, when you see the blind see, and the deaf hear, you will know the excellency of that name. The excellency of the name of Jesus cannot be completely preached. It must be manifested. That's why the fathers of old sang. They said, your name is higher above all the names. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. To Zambia to preach, and somebody said, all these things we are doing is fake, and he mobilized the Zambian people. He said, bring people who are really sick there, let's see if they will be healed. I came the first night, I was looking for crutches, no one came, so I announced to them, I said, tomorrow bring people with crutches. If people testify and you don't see the evidence, you think they are just talking. And the second day they brought them. When I was done preaching, I said, in the name of Jesus, we saw crutches up. I said, come up here. If it's the name of Jesus, we can boast. Because any day, any time, there's enough power to prove himself. Lift your hands toward heaven now. This will not take time. You don't need to feel any emotion. That name will do what it does best. Right now, I decree, every affliction you came here with, in the name that is above every other name, I command those afflictions to leave you now. I decree and declare, every challenge you came here with, they leave you in the name of Jesus. Eyes that cannot see, in the name of Jesus, I command those eyes, begin to see now. Every eye condition in this room, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, glaucoma, cataract, whatever name it is called, I come against you by that name called Jesus. Be healed now. I take authority over every ear condition, deafness, pain, growth. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. I speak over every organ infection, kidney, liver, skin, every organ that is defected. In the name of Jesus, carry your healing now. I talk to bones. I talk to muscles. I talk to ligaments that are failing. In the name of Jesus, receive strength now. I speak over pains in your body, on the neck, on the back, anywhere that you feel pain. Pains, in the name of Jesus, go now. I take authority over every demonic interference, demonic oppression. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. I command every growth in your body, from cancer to pile, whatever it is called, breast tumors, in the name of Jesus, dematerialize now. Everything planted in your life that is not of God, movements in the body, I command them in the name of Jesus, go now. Ushers, help those under the power. Go now. Go now. I take authority over every demonic manipulation in your life, in your body, in your marriage, in your family, in your business. Your power is broken in the name of Jesus. Step into your deliverance now. Step into your season now. If you couldn't walk, stand up and begin to walk. If you couldn't hear, begin to hear. If you have pain, let your body leave you now. If you couldn't see, begin to see.
I'll be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed.
Depends on you. A large percentage of the training of children is the responsibility of mothers. That's why even the first language a child speaks is called the mother tongue. Teach your children from childhood that they are righteous. Teach them that they are anointed. Teach them that they have the life of God. Teach them that they have the name of Jesus. You are the one waiting for them to become adults to know God. They don't wait in the demonic cobble. There are 7-year-old girls that are grandmasters. They don't wait in the demonic cobble. Teach your children while they are young. Don't just receive it now and practice it. Teach your children. And watch them grow as wonders. I remember when I was young, my mom would be going for Bible study and drag me. Sometimes in the evening when I want to go and play football, I will be so angry. She will take me to the Bible study. Sit here, read the Bible. I said, can't you read Bible? Why will I leave all the way to come and join you among women and be reading Bible? I will read it in anger and grudge. She won't stop. Thank God she didn't stop. Today I'm reading Bible for the nations. Thank God. If you need to force them when they become wise, grown up, they will be wise. Teach them while they are young. I will do some things. My mom would look at me and say, are you the one that did it? I say, what about me? She was trying to give me a consciousness that there was something about me. When I grew up, God arrested me. There was a period of my life after my mom died. I became disappointed. I went clubbing. I was dancing in a club, drinking alcohol. The voice of God came out of the wall. The wages of sin is death. I walked out of that club as an apostle. He said, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's grown up, even if he wants to, he can't depart. So it's not about what God is doing here tonight. See the number of women here. If you will teach your children, a generation can be recovered. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. We are shutting down now. Check your body if you have noticed the change. Let me see your right hand. Everybody can drop their hands now. God bless you, Rachel. I want to show you something. We are not shouting. See, in the earlier today, we were all falling and drunk in the Holy Ghost. We are not shouting, but things have happened. Because this thing is beyond feelings. If you have noticed the change, let me see your right hand. Just wave it. Look at the number. Please turn back and see the number.
Oh, when we sorry, 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 oh, when we sorry,
one more time. God has touched you. You know. You know. Not everybody. God has touched you and you know. So I can't take testimonies, right? But see, what the devil did was to make you hide at the back. Now God is bringing you forward. All of you that have been touched, I'm holding my hand up. I'll be dropping it one by one. By the time I finish, those who can come forward, come. If you have been touched, come forward now. Rush forward now until I finish dropping my hand. I see people come from the gallery, but I don't want to stop them. I remember when I came here last year, I think a woman in her 70s or 80s dropped her walking aid and started walking. Is that mama still here? Where is she? See the number of people that have been touched. Just because we said in the name of Jesus. Will you still allow any situation subdue you? Knowing that you have that name. Somebody shout Jesus! Shout Jesus!
Jesus!
So Jesus is not a religious cliche. It's a weapon of war. When you raise that name, every knee goes down. Any situation you want to create, you can create it with that name. I have seen money come in the name of Jesus. I have seen miracles happen in the name of Jesus. I have seen doors open in the name of Jesus. I have seen the dead come back to life in the name of Jesus. It's not a cliche. See the number, see the eyes are filled up with people touch. You can't take the testimonies. Now just lift your hands and honor him. Let's receive mommy to say a word of blessing over you. Somebody is still here that you must speak. Daddy, what happened to your eyes? What happened to Daddy? Daddy is... I'm seeing you with glasses.
Yes, sir. He came with glasses. He had eye defect that resulted from a stroke he had last year.
You had a stroke. So it affected your eyes.
It affected his eyes.
So what happened to the eyes?
So he couldn't
see. Give him the mic. What happened?
When you were praying, so I removed the glass. I started seeing.
You couldn't see where before?
Yes. Even water was dropping from the eye. You can see my handkerchief.
Wait a minute.
Water was dropping from the eye. See my handkerchief.
Liquid was dropping from the eye.
Yes, yes.
And you couldn't see where?
Yes.
That's why you were using the glass. What happened now?
But now I can see clear.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
You are holy. And forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
You are holy.
And forever you are God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
and forever you are God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
Let me show you something. How many other people had eye conditions? Now, everybody drop your hand. If you were healed of an eye condition, lift your hands. Let's see. Eyes. Look at the number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. Come on!
Because you love, you are holy, and forever you are God.
Wait a minute. How many of you were healed of ear condition? Ear, ear, ear. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Are you just looking like that?
So maybe you need to get this one.
What happened?
She had an eye accident. Yes, sir. She had an accident and affected her neck. She couldn't turn.
But you couldn't turn your neck.
She came with a collar.
You came with a collar, neck collar. And you people saw it in this camp. What happened now?
When you were praying, I felt a dew on my body.
You can go. Come the neck. Come it. Come it. She came with a neck collar. Look at what Jesus has done. Give the Lord a shout. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How many of you had bone conditions? You couldn't walk. You couldn't lift your hands. You couldn't turn your neck. Lift your hands. Let's see. Look at that. My God.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.